I always wanted to go camping. You know, a big adventure for our whole family.
Mom and Dad take me and my little brother Jonah shopping.
We pick out our tent, sleeping bags, and cooking stuff.
I find the best tent, big enough for all four of us to sleep in.
Dad and I look at the fishing gear while Mom and Jonah pick out the food. Hot dogs for dinner and for dessert, chocolate, marshmallow, and graham crackers to make s'mores.
Oh boy, I can almost smell the s'mores cooking over the campfire. But it's only a dream. All of it. My brother's right there where I left him, trying to stay warm by the campfire.
We don't have a dad to help us with the campfire or take us fishing. We don't really know him. He's never been a part of our lives. We have a mom, but she sleeps a lot. She's been taking too much of her medicine again. She doesn't know when to stop. Mom has a boyfriend, but I don't like talking about him. He's not nice to us. And this isn't some big family adventure. This is where we live. This is our home. John and I barely make it to school most weeks. We're so far behind, it isn't funny. The best thing about school is we get to eat, and we always save some for later. We'll never know when we get to eat again. The other kids are laughing at us again. We have to wear the same smelly clothes every day. No one wants anything to do with us. Who knows what they would say if they knew we took a bath in a creek. Mom's probably been sleeping all day again. Bet she let the campfire go out. Mom keeps promising she's gonna do better. That she's gonna stop taking all that medicine so she can get a job. Maybe today will be the day. John and I will get to the campsite. She'll be wide awake. The fire will already be going, and she'll smile and run and hug us like she used to.
Hi, boys. I'm Terry. Listen, everything is okay. Your mom is safe, and we want to make sure that you're safe, too. Is that okay?
Yes, sir.
Will you trust me?
Yes, sir.
Good. Let's go.
Introduce you to Jacob and Jonah.
Hi, Jacob. Hi, Jonah.
You guys all right? How about we look at a little bit of the house? I'll show you the dining room to start with. Right in here where we have our meals, all the big tables with 10 other boys.
It's so warm in here, the way a home should feel.
And right in here
I almost forgotten what home feels like.
I'll show you the kitchen.
What eating in a kitchen table feels like.
We cook our meals.
What taking a shower feels like. What sleeping in a bed feels like.
We'll see you in the morning. Good night.
I close my eyes, and I think about that family adventure that I've always dreamed of. My family adventure, it isn't just a dream anymore. I miss Mom. Joan and I talked with her on the phone from time to time. She says she's trying to do better. I sure hope that's true. I wish she was here so she could meet the cottage parents that take care of us. I wish she could see how we pray for her. She'd hear them talk about Jesus and how much he loves us, and how he can heal the hurts in her life. Just like he's helping all the kids here. Kids have been through a lot. And she could remember how good home feels, and what it's like to have a family. Because that's what John and I have here at Baptist Children's Homes. A family.
Morning. Good to see all of you this morning. It's a joy to be with you. And just a little correction from earlier so that Nikki doesn't have a heart attack. I'll be back tonight to preach at 7 o'clock, so I look forward to being back with you tonight. It is always a joy to come to Piney Forest. You all are such a valued asset of the Columbus Baptist Association, and we thank you for your continued prayers, encouragement, participation, and support of all that we do together to build the kingdom. If you have your Bibles, please take them and turn to Psalm 103. Psalm 103, and when you found that in your copy of God's Word, would you please stand in honor and reverence to the reading of His Word this morning? Psalm 103. The psalmist writes, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your iniquities, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in mercy. He will not always strive with us, nor will he keep his anger forever. He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him. For he knows our frame. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass, as a flower of the field, so he flourishes. For the wind passes over in it and is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul. May we pray. Most gracious and heavenly Lord, we praise your name this day. We thank you for your loving kindness, for your grace and your mercy, for your provision for us each and every day. But most of all, we thank you for Jesus our Lord and the sacrifice that you made on our behalf, that we would be able to have a relationship with the one true living God. So, Father, in these few moments as we look to your word, help us to understand what it truly means to be thankful. Help us, Lord, not just to celebrate one day a year our thankfulness to you, but God, may it be a lifestyle that we live, that we are ever thankful, day in, day out, because of who you are and what you have done. Help us in these few moments to focus on you, and we'll be thankful and pray these things in Christ's name. And God's people said, amen. Please be seated. Did everybody get one of these? Good. Hold on to it. I'm going to tell you about it in just a minute. The observance of Thanksgiving is a tradition that we in the United States hold near and dear to our hearts. The tradition of gathering together with family and friends for Thanksgiving began almost 400 years ago at the Plymouth Colony. The Pilgrims uprooted themselves and they sailed to America on the Mayflower, seeking religious freedom and a new way of life for their families. And through what they endured, however, it is amazing that we even have a holiday today at all that celebrates what they started. First of all, instead of landing in Virginia, where the others from England had already established settlements, the Mayflower was blown off course and landed in Plymouth, Massachusetts, just in time for winter to set in. And what ensued next was enough to break the will of even the strongest of people, terrible storms, sickness that ravaged the settlers, things after things after things after things that would have just broken the spirit of any human being. Governor William Bradford described this first winter as this. He said, "That which was most sad and lamentable was that in 2 or 3 months' time, half of the company had died." He went on to describe how sometimes 2, even 3 people died each day. Shelter from the harsh winter was very hard to come by as the Pilgrims spent their time digging 7 times as many graves for the dead as they spending time building their homes for living. When the ship arrived that was supposed to bring food for their relief, they found that while some 35 more mouths to feed were brought, not an ounce of provision was on that ship. The very fact that the tradition of Thanksgiving originated from this band of beaten brothers is amazing indeed. Yet in 1621, Edward Winslow, one of the 50 or so members of the Plymouth Colony, wrote these words describing the first Thanksgiving. "Our harvest of corn came in well, and God be praised. We had a good increase of Indian corn, and our barley crop was also good. And although our harvests are not always so plentiful as it was at this time with us, yet by the goodness of God, we are so far from want that we often with that you could be partakers of our plenty. Wanting never to forget how God had delivered them from the want and the disease and the ravages of that first winter, the Pilgrims and their ancestors that followed developed a tradition to remember the hard times from which they had been delivered. Whenever the Pilgrims would gather together for a feast or a Thanksgiving meal, they had a custom of placing 5 kernels of corn on a plate next to them with an empty chair. Each member of the family would pick up a kernel and tell that for which they were thankful. It is a reminder to them, and it is a reminder to us as well, that first winter at Plymouth, the food was so scarce that their rations were 5 kernels of corn a day. That's all they had to eat. Folks, as Christians, we should always remember that even in the most dire of circumstances, we are to place our reliance and our trust upon the Lord God Almighty. And today, as we look forward to Thanksgiving, I'd like for us to take 5 kernels of truth from the 103rd Psalm, which we just read. Things that we can be thankful to God for. The first is the kernel of forgiveness. Psalm 103 says, "Who forgives all your iniquities?" You see, God's forgiveness is not something that we can earn. You can't be good enough. You can't do enough good things in order to earn the forgiveness of the Almighty. Psalm 103:10 says, "He has not dealt with us according to our sins, nor punished us according to our iniquities." In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, it says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not that of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." God's forgiveness not only cannot be earned, but God's forgiveness is complete. He doesn't partially forgive us. I mean, we've all been upset with people before. We've all been angry with folks. We've all had folks do us wrong. And sometimes there's a tendency to kind of say, "Well, I'll forgive them, but I'm not going to forget. I'm going to hold on to that for a while. And if I need to bring it back up again later, I will, just to remind them of what they did." That's not how God works. God forgives us completely. The 12th verse of the 103rd Psalm says, "As far as the east is from the west, so far as he removed our transgressions from us." In Acts chapter 3, verse 19, it says, "Repent, therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord." The forgiveness of God is whole and complete and everlasting. The second kernel of truth that we see is the kernel of healing. The second part of Psalm 103 verse 3 says, "Who heals all your diseases." All healing is divine healing and the direct result of the work of God. The healing properties of the body that God built are amazing. I mean, just think about it. Your body is at work 24/7 to fight off anything that would come against you. Sickness and illness, your blood cells are working to rid those things from your body. And then when that doesn't work, God has allowed doctors and scientists to create medicines and procedures that help us so that we can have the healing that we need. You see, the medicines and the doctors are just an extension of God's healing. God also doesn't promise to heal all of our diseases. Some people have the misunderstanding that if we pray to God and ask him to heal us, he's going to do it. He's not obligated to do any of it. But he says to us, "I can do it." Sometimes his plan is that we be healed on the other side in order to bring his glory, in order to be the ones that carry out his plan. He may decide to not heal us here, but to heal us once we get there. There's also a note that we need to understand that God is the only one who can cure our spiritual diseases. Doctors have yet to be able to come up with a cure for sin, and they never will. The only thing that cures us from sin is repentance and a trust and a relationship in the Lord Jesus Christ and a prayer of forgiveness, seeking God to restore us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. The third kernel of truth is the kernel of redemption. In Psalm 103, verse 4, the first part of it says, "Who redeems your life from destruction." Years ago, the governor of Texas once went to a local prison and spoke to a group of inmates. And as he was there, he finished saying his remarks, and he said if anybody wanted to come and speak with him, he'd be glad to stick around and answer any of the questions they might have. And as you might expect, when that meeting was over, a large group of men remained behind and formed a line to come and talk with him. And one by one, they each told the governor that they were there because somebody had framed them, or it was a mistake and they didn't do anything wrong. It was an injustice, a judicial blunder. And each man asked the governor to be freed. Finally, one man came and he said, "Governor, I just wanted to come and tell you I'm guilty of what I did. I did what they sent me here for, but I believe that I've paid for it. And if I were freed, I would do everything in my power to be a good and productive citizen and prove myself worthy of your mercy." As you can imagine, that man was the only one that received a pardon from the governor. Why? Because he admitted his guilt. You and I can never pay for our sin. But for redemption to take place, we must confess and repent our sins before the Lord God Almighty. The fourth kernel of truth is the kernel of love and compassion, and comes from the second part of verse 4. It says, "Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies." God's compassion for us is like a father to his child. In verse 13 of chapter 103 in Psalm, it says, "As a father pities his children, so the Lord pities those who fear him." You see, God's love is unmatched in heaven or on earth. And in Romans chapter 5, verses 6 to 8, it says, "For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely will a righteous man die for one. Yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There is nothing that will ever match the grace and the mercy and the loving kindness of our Heavenly Father. The last kernel of truth is the kernel of blessing, which comes from the fifth verse of chapter 103, and it says, "Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles." God's blessings are not just given out to anybody at any time. God's blessings are given to those who obey him, who follow his commands, who live their lives in service of him. Verses 17 and 18 of chapter 103 says, "But the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting on those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and to those who remember his commandments to do them." God knows exactly how to bless his children. In Matthew chapter 7, it says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, it will be opened. Or what man is there among you? If a son asks for bread, you'll give him a stone. Or if he asks for a fish, you'll give him a serpent. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father, who is in heaven, give good things to those who ask him? I've been in ministry now almost 40 years. 2020, I'll be celebrating my 40th year. And one thing that I continue to keep seeing over and over and over again, all throughout the churches, not just here in Columbus County, but everywhere I've been, God's people spend a lot of time praying. But in that time of praying, we spend way too much time asking God for things. We spend way too much time even asking God to answer our prayers, asking God for miracles, instead of just coming before him and giving him thanks. Coming before our Heavenly Father and saying, thank you for what you've done. I urge you to spend more time thanking God for his bountiful blessings that he gives to us each and every day. I'm going to share a song with you this morning. And this song, not so much for you to just listen, but I ask that you would use it as a prayer as we close our time together this morning. Understand, our Heavenly Father, the one that sits on the throne, the one that controls the universe, the one that created everything, is not just a benevolent grandpa or a Santa Claus who's up there for us to just come with him with our problems and say, Lord, fix it. That's just a small part of it. But instead, he's the one that has provided your very life. He gives you the breath that you draw. He gives you the family that you love, the children that you dote on, the spouse that you adore. He gives you everything that you need, provides for every single thing that you need day after day after day. And we don't spend nearly enough time coming before him and saying, God, thank you. Thank you. Psalm 100 says this: make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth to all generations. This Thursday, when you gather around the table with your loved ones, your family, your friends, to share in what I know is going to be a great meal, put these five kernels on a plate. Take the time to go around that table and honestly ask each other, what are you thankful for? Because I know one thing. When we take things for granted, not only are we disobedient, but we can lose it. Be thankful to God. Be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the blessings that he gives you every day. Don't just spend time saying, Lord, here's what I need help with. Here's what I want. Instead, say, God, thank you for what I have. Thank you for the home, for my job, for my family. Thank you for providing that I have food to eat every day, place to lay my head at night. Be thankful that you're not like those little boys in that video who had to live out in the forest. If you really stop and look, you have far more to be thankful for than you realize. So folks, let's start living like thankful people. Will you join me in prayer? Father, we say thank you. Thank you for loving us, even when we're unlovable. Thank you for providing for our needs, even when we tend to turn our back on you. Thank you for surrounding us with people that love us, even when we don't demonstrate our love for you as we should. Thank you for making a way for us to have a relationship with you, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. May we never take for granted our salvation, but may we rejoice and give thanks every day to the God who made it possible, the one true living God, in whose name we pray. Amen. Our time of invitation this morning is going to be a little bit different. If you know that you're here today and you are wondering who it is that we're thankful to, you've heard of this Jesus before, but you've never really met him, you've never really been told about him, I want you to know something right now. All you got to do when we start to sing this invitation hymn is just walk right up to me and I'll be glad to share him with you. I'll tell you all about Jesus, and when you leave here today, you'll know more about him than you ever did before. And if you're willing, I can show you how you can enter into a relationship with him. Ask him into your heart and life. Receive that forgiveness we talked about. And know beyond the shadow of a doubt that when this life is over, there's a hope of an eternal future waiting for you in heaven. If you don't have that in your life, it's awful hard to be thankful because you don't know the one to be thankful to. So I urge you this morning, let me introduce him to you. But most of us have probably already made that decision. So my question to you is this: what are you doing with Jesus? Are you living your life serving him? Are you getting up every day thankful for what you have and who you are in Christ? Is your life honoring God? Can others see Jesus living in you? Or have you become so comfortable knowing that you're a Christian that you've kind of forgotten what it's like to really live your life for Christ? You might need to just come to this altar and pray. Ask the Lord to renew that relationship in your life, to get excited and get on fire for him once again. Folks, here in Columbus County, 58% of the population don't know Jesus. And the only way they're going to find out is by them seeing him living in you and hearing you tell him about it. Is your life on fire for Christ? Are you thankful enough to God for all that he's done to you that you're willing to give back to him everything you've got? I pray that is your answer today, that yes, I can do that and I am. But if not, we might need to come and do business with God today and say, Lord, restore that joy in me once again. You might just need to come to the altar and pray for a loved one who's lost. Pray for something that's going on in your life that you need the Lord's help with. I don't know what you're going through, but I know the one that does, and he says, I'm here for you this morning. Don't let this time of invitation go by and just be another song we sing before we close the books, go out to lunch, and go home. Let God speak to your heart today and truly be thankful. As we stand and sing, our hymn of invitation is hymn number 637. Come, ye thankful people, come.